Welcome to Back to Health with Dr. Cale Copeland. He has been a chiropractic provider to the Victoria Grizzlies Junior A Hockey Club for 9 seasons and involved in healthcare for over 2 decades. Get ready to be inspired to greater vitality, performance, energy, and health as he interviews experts every 2 weeks. Now here's Dr. Cale.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Cale Copeland and I'm your host for Back to Health. Thanks for being here. This is episode number 9 and I'm really looking forward to speaking with all-star realtor Jason Benab. We're going to chat and see if we can figure out what's enabled him to stay healthy and be so successful. Now before he joins us, if you have any questions or you require assistance, you can reach us here anytime at Victoria Family Chiropractic at 250-592-5553 or online at www.vfchiro.com. So here's a little about Jason. He's one of the top realtors in North America. His father Reza came to Canada from Iran in the early 1960s with $50 in his pocket and created a successful life for himself and his family. He instilled this work ethic and success formula in Jason when he was a child. Jason began his career as a realtor in 2005 with RE/MAX in Victoria and joined a local agent's team. After just 6 months, he had 12 deals, double the average, but his boss still doubted his ability to make more than $100,000 in his first year, and he made this joke in front of 20 other agents. As a result, Jason decided to quit the following week and formed his own company, Benab & Strasser, and in the following year made $254,000. The second year, he almost doubled that and became the number one RE/MAX team in Victoria, beating his old boss, who'd been number one for 14 years and number one on the island. He split from his business partner in 2012, formed Benab Group. Later, he switched companies to McDonald Realty, which is a local company with 1,000 agents. And after 2 years, he finished number one locally and in the top 10 of the company. He then joined international company Engel & Völkers. In his first full year with the company, he finished number one in Canada, the number one team in North America, the number two global agent based on sales, the number three agent on transaction volume, and number five based on commission. The majority of Jason's business is now in the luxury market. He's also very innovative and has a YouTube series called Ride with a Realtor, where he views luxury listings in supercars like Lamborghinis and Ferraris. For more information about Jason, check out his website at www.binabgroup.com. That's B-I-N-A-B group.com. Jason, thanks for being here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here and talking with you.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I've known Reza, your dad, pretty well. He actually got me the job when I was with the Grizzlies there for 10 years, a decade ago, and he was one of the owners, and we've been good friends since.
Yeah, no, he talked to me quite a bit about you and was bugging me. You got to call Cale. You got to call. He's got this podcast. He wants to talk to you. I was like, what's the sales pitch?
Yeah, your dad's awesome. Yeah,
no, I'm happy to connect with you. So
cool. Okay, well, hey, let's get right into it. So I guess my first question is, what's enabled you to be so successful wherever you go?
Obviously, I think that the biggest thing for being successful as a realtor is a very great work ethic, because you have to be able to take no a lot as an answer. You know, it's I lived in Vancouver for 5 years in the early 2000s. I was trying to be an actor. I was bartending at that time, and bartending was actually one of the best jobs ever in terms of dealing with people, just the amount of people you deal with.
Right.
People tell you everything. When you serve them a drink, they tell you, you know, they're in love with somebody, they got engaged, they're cheating. They tell you almost everything. It's like too much. But that really gave me a great experience in dealing with people and just kind of understanding the psychology. And but while I was trying to be an actor, that gave me great lessons in rejection, because I was probably doing 60 to 100 auditions a year, every single year. And I'd go to these auditions and keep getting denied, turned down. I did a few independent films and lots of commercial auditions and film auditions, but I got turned down most of the time. And, you know, that's kind of humbling too, because
yeah,
I thought I was good. I was going to school. I had private coaching. I went to William Davis School of Film there. That was the cancer man from X-Files.
Wow.
I had a personal coach I worked with every single week, but didn't matter. I'd show up and they'd say, no, you're too skinny, you're too tall, you're too dark, you don't look like the main guy, no. And so when I started in real estate, I was already used to hearing no. And, you know, I think you need a very good work ethic, which obviously is something my father kind of instilled in me. And that's kind of the Iranian culture, you know, to push yourself and be good and make something of yourself. So work ethic aside, you have to be honest in this business. And for me, it's work hard, be honest, have integrity, right? And if you can't be honest in this business, you just, you know, there's a lot of agents that come and go pretty quick. I think they say 75% fail in the first 5 years. So a lot of them come and hot shots pretty quick, some of them, and they'll be out. And I just think that that's the, you know, this business takes time. It takes laying seeds. You know, my dad used to say, son, it's like planting seeds. You got to water those seeds, right? And this is a people business. And sometimes people say no to you day one, and 2 years later they call you, right? And if you haven't been watering that seed and touching those people, when I say touching, I'm talking about texting or phoning or emails or Christmas cards or something, they forget about you, their cousin becomes a realtor, their neighbor's best friend's best friend is a realtor, and you're out, right? So, you know, there's a lot of things that make a realtor successful or not successful, and it's tough to sum it up all in like a little short kind of clip, but you know, work ethic is obviously important. Honesty and integrity, those are kind of the three foundations.
Yeah, that's huge. Like, I just wanted to, like, when you say integrity, like what's an example of that? I'm just curious.
So integrity to me is, you know, will you do something that goes against your morals, right? So in this business, you got to remember, people are trying to buy a home or sell a home, and it's the biggest asset in most people's lives. And you've got realtors on the other end, like myself, that this is how we make a living. So this is how I feed my family and put my kids through school and drive cars and all that kind of stuff. So there's a fine line there where you want to do a deal and get paid and support your family and everything. But are you going to do it at all costs? And are you willing to jeopardize your own morals for a commission? And if you're that type that will do anything at any cost, then to me, you don't have integrity. I mean, you could say the way I talk about it, maybe that integrity is kind of like an honesty, right? So for me, it's never worth one deal, five deals, or 10 deals to compromise my own moral values. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. So when I give people advice, I have to believe with 100% certainty that that's the best advice for them at that given moment. Now, markets change up and down, and things change, and interest rates change, and, you know, buyers come in from Vancouver that you weren't expecting. The market might move up. But if today I tell you, I believe this is the best for your home, and it's $1.5 million, and this is the best we're going to see, I can say that confidently at that moment. If five months later it's worth 1.8 or 1.2, unfortunately, that's a market, and I don't control a market. But integrity to me is being able to kind of stand behind it. If I can give the advice to you like I would give to myself, my wife, or my parents, then I always think that that's great advice.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I love hearing that. I mean, obviously, my show is about health, and I guess success is kind of a side thing. But it's just always good to know, because, you know, relationships and how we are as people is actually really important to our health. So it's interesting to hear from people like you that are really successful, kind of what that means. You know what I mean? You know, dad.
I think sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going for sure.
I was just going to say, I think that definitely for me is part of the mental health, just staying mentally sane and just knowing that, hey, look, I'm giving good advice, the best that I know, and the most that I feel confident with at that moment. I can sleep at night knowing that I'm an honest realtor and I've got integrity, and it's not just about a commission, and I won't do anything just to make a commission. That's to me integrity. Honesty, would you put your stamp, would you give that advice to your family, and can you sleep at night giving that advice? And I can, right? If I was being dishonest and everything, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. That's just how I am as a person.
Yeah, well, that's great, because you're right. I mean, mental health spills over into physical health, and everything, you know, everything affects everything. And it's funny, your dad, I remember this is years and years and years ago, and he came up to me, and you've probably heard your dad say this, but he said, you know, when you're dealing with people, you always deal with your heart. You speak from your heart, not from anywhere else.
And, I know that saying. He says that a lot. Son, you got to speak from your heart, not from your, and you know where he says the other part, right?
Yeah, so. not, But it's true, though. I mean, that's great stuff. And just really old world. And for those who don't know, his dad's a wonderful guy. But it was funny. The next question I was going to ask you was the whole, what were those success principles your dad mentioned to you that kind of helped you out? And I guess we just kind of ended up talking about that with that.
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, for me, I have an innate drive to want to be the best, and that I think comes from my dad too. Iranian culture is very from my experiences, and I grew up here in Canada, and I don't speak Farsi or anything, but they're very proud people. They like to succeed. A lot of very smart people in this world and a lot of world leaders and stuff like that are from an Iranian background, whether
really?
They're full or half. And there's a lot of very smart people, astrophysicists, engineers, you name it. You'd be surprised how many people have a Persian background. Now, that's kind of my dad just growing up and being, pushing me to always give 110%, son. You got to give 110%, always 110%. So that's kind of my work ethic is to, to work hard all the time. But then at the same time, he talks about think with your heart, like you said, and you always got to be honest, and be weary of people. He's got a saying that he talks about all the time. He says, son, you got to trust people, but you always got to be aware. It's kind of like a snake. You dip your five fingers in honey, maybe the snake doesn't bite the first, second, third, or fourth, but you might get bit the fifth. So always be aware of not necessarily just people, but your surroundings and environment. And it just kind of makes you think about a deal in real estate from all angles. Like, I'm trying to represent my seller, but what could the buyer be doing that maybe gives them an up? Or, just trying to think about different scenarios that, kind of relate back to that trust people, but be aware, right? So always being aware of your senses. And, I trust other realtors that I do deals with too, but at the same time, I'm working for my clients, and I'm always, I don't want to say I'm on edge, but I'm always alert, right? What scenario could best, how could this play out? There's probably 5, 6, 8, 10 scenarios for every deal. Think about those, give the advice based on how things could go, and we make a sound choice based on knowledge, right? And knowing what those scenarios could be.
That's amazing. And, I love that last part you said there about, obviously we want to trust people and believe the best in people, but there's also that just, no one's going to, at the end of the day, when it comes to, say, your health, for instance, I'm going to give the best advice to my patients that I, but they've got to make their own decision, and they've got to, a lot of times people just take the advice of one person and they go that way and it doesn't work out. So I think you're right. At the end of the day, people have to be alert, and they've got to, in your particular case, be aware of your surroundings and make an informed decision. And that's huge.
I mean, nowadays, especially for you and your line of work, and I guess it relates to real estate and everything, is I find that the people get, I call them, they get knowledge from snippets of news, information, headlines, right? So they, to me, with social media and everything, it's just, everybody's got an opinion on something pretty quick, and it's based from a snippet or a headline that they've read about something, right?
So that's true.
Whether it be, oh, yeah, I heard that, what's that sport that they do where they're deadlifting and all that kind of stuff? What do they call that? CrossFit, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I heard that, deadlifts are bad for your back, or I've heard that, real estate, the bubble's going to burst, or I heard that Donald Trump this, or vaccinations, or politics. I mean, everybody's got a real quick opinion on everything because social media gives you everything there. So I find that most people don't know a lot about everything. They know a little bit about everything, but they don't really jump into it and fully educate themselves on everything. But they form a pretty quick opinion on it, and that's where someone like you being an expert in your field, they should be able to trust you. And same with me being a realtor. If whether they read something or not in a, Globe and Mail or Vancouver or whatever, let's talk about how it relates in Victoria. Let's talk about my knowledge. I'm not the know-all be-all of real estate. I know what I know, and I know it well, and I'm smart and I do well, but you know what? Everybody's got a different opinion, a different outlook. Maybe somebody else's outlook is better, but I'll give you a very knowledgeable outlook on your home value, whether you're buying or selling, or is now the time to buy. Quite often I tell people, I don't think now's the time to sell. Your home's going to go up. This neighborhood's going to do that. and I think this is a mistake. And they'll be like, okay, that's kind of weird. You're a realtor. You make commission. You just talked yourself out of a sale. And then that comes back to that you know, value that my dad instilled in me, that this business is people business. I'm not selling houses. I'm selling myself to people, right? Like that, that's really what they buy into is me, because there's so many great realtors and it's everybody knows somebody, that, but people buy into me, right? And we either connect or we don't. You know, I give them advice. So, you know, the same in your line, not what I got a little bit off track, but I think what I was getting at is that people need to trust the expert that they're working with. And in real estate, they can trust me. I can say that confidently. In your field, they can trust you. And much like if they go see their doctor or you know, somebody else, right? So.
But, you know, it's a good point, though. I mean, it's good to go see somebody that you do trust, because I think the reality is that there's a lot of healthcare providers, there's a lot of realtors, and I'm sure sometimes people get opinions that maybe aren't necessarily, maybe they're biased opinions, you know, and maybe they're not necessarily an opinion that is what's best for that person. Maybe it's an opinion that's sort of based on something, a belief system this other guy has or this person has.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hear that all the time, you know, like... you know, someone says, you know, my medical doctor says I shouldn't see a chiro, or, you know, and again, it's one of these things where it's like, wow, you know, that's, everyone's got opinions, but you wonder if it's necessarily a good opinion. But yeah, we both got sidetracked there. But listen, you know, Jason, you know, you've got obviously tons of energy. I mean, I guess one of my questions was for you, like, you know, health is a big deal. You know, if you don't have health, it's hard to be happy. It's hard to be successful. You know, do you have any, are there any habits or maybe choices that you consciously make, health habits, whether it's anything, physical, mental, that you feel is like important to having energy and being successful?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. So for me, like my sister's been somebody that my whole life grew up talking about energy and vibrations and, you know, crystals and, you know, the power of that kind of stuff and meditation and yoga. And I always thought, you know what, I kind of grew up a little bit, you know, sports with hockey. Hockey was it for me. You know, different generation. I'm 42, right? So when I was young, we didn't have this knowledge that the kids now do playing hockey and sports do and all these great resources and understand the benefit of yoga or Pilates or chiropractic or even some of the energy healing stuff, you know.
Right.
Up until probably this year, I'd never even thought about mental health, right? And now I've made that part of my daily routine. So twice a day I meditate for 15 minutes. I downloaded an app called Quests. And on there, I worked my way through. And on level 7, it's basically about a 15-minute thing that starts from everything from compassion to gratitude, envisioning what your future is, you know, what the perfect day looks like, forgiveness, and then kind of capturing all that in 15 minutes. I do that twice a day.
Wow.
I go to a personal trainer once a week, to work on my core. So because I've had back issues, I also go get my back worked on once a week because I've had back issues, but you know, twice a day I'm doing meditation for 13 to 15 minutes. Sometimes more if I'm sitting in my car in between appointments and I've got nothing going on, no phone calls, which for me, phone's ringing a lot. Quite often I'll just sit there and I'll put on that meditation app again and I'll just listen again, or I'll just sit there and work on some deep breathing exercises, just thinking about, you know, whatever it is, whether it's the day, whether I'm worked up about something, whether I'm envisioning a great weekend with my kids or a house sale going through, or I did a listing appointment and getting that listing, whatever it is, I'll work on that. So for me, that's been probably the biggest change for me, the mental health side of things. Just really taking and embracing meditation. I started on yoga. I'm doing yoga once a week. Right now I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus because my trainer's studio time was booked over the holidays. So we're going to jump back into that in January. So I'd say I probably ride my bike 2 to 3 times a week, whether that's outdoors or indoor. Like this morning, I did a one-hour trainer session on my rollers.
That's great.
So I'm going to be racing for a local team again. We're going to race in the Masters Nationals. Victoria's hosting the Nationals for cycling for the Masters event.
Nice.
So this, I think it's a three. There's a time trial, a crit, and a road race. So I'll be doing that. So I'm training for that. But I love cycling. So that's it for me. I mean, for me, cycling, if I had it, I would cycle 5-6 days a week. I love hockey. I grew up playing hockey. I do love hockey. It's just the challenge for me is these a lot of these old-timer hockey things at 10 o'clock at night, 9:30, 10:30 at night.
I can't do that anymore.
Yeah, like, you know, they're done at 11:30 at night, and they want to drink a beer or two. I'm not a big beer drinker, and the last thing I want to be doing is drinking beer at 11:30 or midnight, right? Especially when I got to wake up the next day, and I still have emails to do.
Yeah. Well, hey,
so,
listen, I mean, I'm
yeah,
just...
mental health.
Oh, I'm pumped for anyone listening because it's so exciting talking to really successful people across industries. But I'll tell you, one of the things that you notice is that there's absolutely fundamental kind of like crossover. Like, I mean, you listen to a guy like you, you're totally preventative. I mean, you're into it all and you're doing it all. And that's, I'm sure, what enables you to have this great energy and to be so dialed in and to really know what your values are and to be pumped about mm-hmm. being the best. And it's amazing. We're kind of running out of time here. So I wanted to see if we can squeeze a couple more questions out of you. You got two young kids, right?
Yes. So five and three, two boys.
Wow. I mean, so between career and marriage and kid, I mean, you're busy. So any kind of tips? I mean, I guess, how do you balance it? Is there any sort of tips at all?
Well, I mean, obviously that's the end goal is to get total balance, which I don't think anybody truly lives a 100% balanced life. You're always probably off keel one direction or another, unless you're, I don't know, maybe the Buddha or somebody else. But
yeah, I agree with you.
A monk or something. But, you know, for me, I think I have a day timer and it's sitting right next to me right now. The one I bought is the Passion Planner because it talks a lot about envisioning your future and what your goals should be. And it kind of keeps you accountable. So for me, I think if you write in your day timer, everything. I summarize every single day, how the relationship is with my wife, with the kids, how my body feels, you know, if I've got heartburn, which is something I've been dealing with right now, what I'm eating, I'm keeping a food log, what bothers me, what doesn't. But the more specific you can get, whether it's setting goals on work, I want to make 200,000, 500, 5 million, 10 million, whatever it is that you can get specific and write it down, it keeps you accountable. So writing down, for me, example, this day I'm going to work out at the gym. This day my back's getting worked on. Saturdays I'm riding my bike early in the morning. Today, ride my bike. Monday morning, Tuesday morning. And I'm doing these before I take my kid to school. It doesn't take away from my work or my clients. It doesn't take away from my kids or wife. So, you know, you got to go to bed early. You got to wake up early. You got to be driven. I've got a drive in me that I think nobody's going to work harder than me. Nobody's, and my goal is my goal. I'm not competing against another realtor to make more money or do more sales.
Sure.
My goal is my goal, but my goal is very ultra driven goal. I'm an extreme type A, and I know that I'm going to work hard, and I don't believe anybody's going to work harder than me. And if they are, great. Like in hockey, if Sidney Crosby's out there, the best, and Connor McDavid's going to be the new best, I'm sure he's happy for that because Sidney's going to give 100%, 110%, and be the best he can. And that's all I want, is to be the best I can. But it's very working towards balance. Unfortunately, real estate, because our phones are always ringing and people are working 9 to 5, they want to call after 5. And that's when I'm at home with the kids or dinner or something like that. That's where it's tough for a realtor to have true balance.
I hear you.
So by no means am I a balanced person. I work out 3-4 days a week and spend time with my kids at bedtime and breakfast in the morning, take them to school. And, you know, but I'm very married to my phone, and that's probably not balanced for a listener. So this is definitely not
well,
for everybody.
No, I mean, hey, listen, love your honesty and your humility. I mean, here you are, putting it all on the table. No, I mean, that's just it. I mean, I don't think anyone's, I mean, if it was easy to be healthy and balanced, then everyone would be. And, it's certainly an awesome goal to go towards. Cause you know, I think without health and without balance, life's not rich and it's not worth living. Or no, I shouldn't say that, but it's not, you know what I mean? It's not full. So no, I think you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And it's great to hear just a really real, like in the trenches, here's what's going on and here's how I deal with it. So that's fantastic. Geez, I mean, I had more questions here for you, but I think it's fantastic. I mean, I guess the other thing too is obviously, yeah, you've got that inner drive to really, you know, it's funny. I've got a day planner too. And I have to admit, I use mine similarly to you. Like it really keeps me on track and, that's fun.
I don't trust phones. I write everything down. There's still something to me about writing that makes it real versus texting. And I've noticed if I write notes down with my hand versus a text, it seems to get done differently for me.
Yeah,
I'm not saying, you know, a millennial is writing everything down, or they should. They might know themselves better. But for me, accountability in a book. There's no chance my phone dies or turns off or runs out of battery, so I miss my appointment or something. It's written, that book's with me, and I goal set, write down my goals, personal goals, life goals, other goals, relationship goals, date nights with my wife, money goals. Everything is written down, and it's easy, it's visual, it's drawn out, and I achieve my goals. I mean, obviously, I'm not 100% on everything, and most of that is related to my time with the family and wife. That's the one part about being a realtor that is off balance for any realtor. Unless, if they want to do the volume of business I'm doing or make a lot of money, I don't believe you can have 100% balance unless you're putting your clients way down the list. And I don't. I put the clients way up the list. They're at the top of my list for importance with some understanding, obviously. But if you want to be a realtor that's truly balanced and only work 9 to 5 and turn your phone off from 5 till 10 at night, good luck. You're not going to do what I'm doing. So,
I hear you. So just, you know, I'm going to squeeze one more in. So when you talk about goals, yeah, are you looking at your goals on a regular basis? Or is this more like they're in the, yeah, like there's small daily goals and there's big long-term goals? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so every week I write down my goals. I want these listings. You know, I've done these listing appointments. I want to get them, get confirmation or hear whatever. And then I write down at the beginning of the year, so I just did this the other day, I wrote my 2018 goals. I want to make X amount of money and X amount of deals in 1 year. And then so in order to hit that goal, in 6 months, I need to be at this point. And then 3 months, I need to be at this point. And in 1 month, I need to be at this point, 1/12 of my goal. And then in 1 week, I need to be at a quarter of that. And so that's how the accountability starts. It doesn't mean I'm always going to hit it, but trust me, when I set those goals, I'm hitting my goals or breaking my goals. And as a realtor, it's up and down. It's a roller coaster. You don't know if you're making $5 today or $50,000 or $10,000 or $100,000 or zero, right?
Yeah.
And that's the uncertainty of being a realtor. That's definitely not for all people, but I write them all down and I'm looking at them and checking them as I go along. I work with a life coach, business coach every second week. I'm now working with another gentleman that I've hired on a weekly basis to keep me accountable on a weekly basis, and that's life and work, right? So I'm talking about relationships, time off, stuff with the kids, as well as work goals, and just really looking back and saying, where am I at right now? The other day I checked my sales stats to see where I was at right now, and, it's a goal-setting thing, but with total accountability and checking back on it and readjusting. So if I'm ahead of track or behind track, then this month I need to do 10 sales or 12 sales because last month I was under. But just knowing that the end goal, I'm going to meet it as long as I work hard. And setting goals for things I don't even know are going to happen. Like, for example, two listings. I want two new listings in Oak Bay or whatever it is. And I don't know where those are coming from. I just write them down, put them out there into the energy, into the world, into the universe, and then boom, two people call me. Hey, I want to list my house with you, and you're like, where did that come from, right?
That's
so
cool.
That whole law of attraction thing I didn't believe in before, and as about 5 years ago, I changed my attitude, my perception of things, and I'm more open to that. Great things have happened from just writing down goals that I might not even know how that's going to happen. But they happen because I'm working hard, taking the steps and everything else, right?
That's amazing. Listen, Jason, that's been, I can say thank you so much.
Hey, listen,
you know, we're out of time, but if there's anyone to who's listening, sure. If this podcast got you pumped up, share it to everyone out there. Jason, thank you. We're looking forward to you being with us again for the next episode of Back to Health.
Thanks for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. For more information about Dr. Kale, visit his website, vfcairo.com, where you can read his blog and hit links to his YouTube channel and Facebook page for videos and more. Book an appointment with Dr. Kale today at Victoria Family Chiropractic by calling 250-592-5553 and get started on a path to being your best.